When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, guess what? Robin here with some very good news. Jamie and I are going to be doing a live taping of If These Ovaries Could Talk. The event is on Friday, May 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the New York LGBT Center. We have some amazing guests. You are not going to want to miss this because the Abbeys, who were the stars of Bravo's hit TV show Newlyweds, are going to be with us and they're going to be sharing their journey to parenthood. You need to register in advance for tickets though, okay, because the seats are limited. So head over to our website, which is ovariestalk.com, and there's a little tab up there that says live taping. So click on that and that's going to help you register for tickets. And you know what, guys? We hope to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Welcome.
You have landed on If These Ovaries Could Talk. By the way, people are going, that's my favorite radio show. I just saw that a comment on our Facebook page.
I love that. That's like what my mom says.
Like, maybe it was your mom.
It might be. We go, talking about my mom again. By the way, I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
Jamie's
mom is also sometimes present, but she's not a host.
I just talk about her a lot.
A lot.
I love her.
So... That's nice. So today is a really, I'm excited about today's episode because we have a gay dad who, so we got a dude.
We got a guy.
We got some male energy.
We've been needing this. And you might have noticed that hole if you've been listening. You've been, that's so wrong.
So I'm excited to hear, it's not as easy for them to have babies. And I'm excited to hear his path, like how he goes about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know as much about what they have to go through to get a baby as I do about the lesbians. So
yeah, and he's going to focus on surrogacy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a more technical term for it, but that's the gist. And I feel like we're going to hear the gist from him.
So let's bring him in.
All right, let's go, David.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're starting, David.
Okay.
David's with us today, and we are super, what do I always say, super jazzed.
Super jazzed.
To hear your story.
No, really, we are. We really
I say that too much. So you're in the hot seat, and we want, so I guess we want you to tell us a little bit about you, like an elevator pitch of you, and you're sort of speaking on behalf of your partner, Billy?
Yes.
So I feel like I want to hear him and the story of him and Billy. What do you think, Jamie?
I think so. Yeah. Give us your relationship elevator pitch.
So our listeners know you in a nutshell.
Okay, so our log line is that I am a 50-year-old millennial. And as a millennial...
do you say that all the time? As a millennial.
As a millennial, and people are like, what?
I was going to say, do they get you? Or are they like, well, you're not?
Well, you know, people talk about millennials as if they're still 24, and they're actually not. And Billy is... the rock of the relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something I think might be beautiful about him. He is my anchor and my North Star.
Oh, that is beautiful.
I love that.
Well, you have, I mean, my understanding, what I have read is you've got a pretty interesting story about making a non-traditional family. But I guess Jamie and I were talking before you got here. We'd love to hear, did you want to have kids? Like, I mean, I'm fascinated by... as a 50-year-old millennial, you know, a lot of gay men, you know,
it's catchy, I tell you,
of our age weren't having kids.
Yes.
So could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I'm going to be very honest tonight.
Oh, please
okay.
do.
This
that.
Is a first.
You should always
if you
be.
Could cry, that would also be super good too.
We haven't had anyone cry yet.
Tom Coppola cried.
Oh, he did.
He cried like a baby.
But also, David, you're our first gay dad.
Really?
Yes.
You are.
Oh my, okay, so I am not the model first gay dad who had a kid. I'm just letting you know, so I'm going to tell you my story.
Good.
Okay?
Oh, good.
Okay.
That's I don't think there is better. Any, you know.
No, no, there's not. We'll see. No. So I didn't want to have kids, mostly because I never thought that was an option. It didn't occur to me. My experience was, again, as a 50-year-old millennial, I lived half of my life in the Deep South.
Oh.
I was an Air Force brat, and we literally moved every 2 years to increasingly horrible places. So we started off in the New York area, but then went down to Maryland, and then Andrews Air Force Base, and then to Texas, and then to Mississippi and Georgia.
Great places for a young gay man to come.
No judgment on those who live there, but...
Well,
you know, I'm always the one.
She's always trying to make sure we don't lose listeners. It's fine.
No, but when
I'm like, they hate me already. It's fine.
No, but I say those places with such, you know, intoning dark things because it was the 70s and 80s and the early 90s that I was down there. And so I feel that the gay guys who are my age and women also, that we weren't as free to come out of the closet until later.
Yeah.
I was 28, and that was still pretty daring for me and where I was.
Mm-hmm. Where were you when you came out?
I had just moved to Atlanta from Mississippi. So I thought, you know, I packed up my Honda Accord, drove 6 hours east to freedom, because in the 90s, Atlanta was, it wasn't only the Black cultural center of, you know, music and everything at a time. It was also like the gay hub of the South.
It was when it was Hotlanta.
Exactly, Hotlanta. And the Olympics were there, and I got a job at Turner Broadcasting. So I was sort of in TV-ish behind the scenes. And so I came out at 28. And so for what is still half of my life as a millennial who's 50, I was in
We're going to turn that into a drinking game.
Exactly.
Drink.
I was in the closet. And so the reason I told you I moved around so much, so the combination of always being in a new place where I didn't fit in, plus being gay at the time that I was, my MO had always been, and it still is this way residually, sort of really polite like a Southerner, you know, very friendly, but not sharing as much as I get. So I was always getting information and people opening up to me, and we were all good friends, and I had this other life, which was in my head, you know, wasn't telling anybody.
Yeah. Mm.
So
were you the guy that they didn't, like, they told everything to, but they didn't even realize that they didn't ask you a question?
I'm still that guy.
Yeah.
I'm still that guy.
I'm surprised you said yes to the podcast. A lot of times, too.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happened. This is what you do for everyone who wants to know. So someone will say, oh my God, that person, I can't believe it. Can you believe that? And then all I have to do is say, yeah. And then boom.
You know what I say?
What?
That's crazy. That's what I do. I'm
on to you now, Jamie. Now I'm going to know every time you're doing that to me.
One person said to me, you know, and I've never forgotten this because I think it is sort of how I am. They say, you know, you have this sort of knack for getting people to pop the hood open. Mm-hmm. I was like, I do.
That sounds dirty.
I know, exactly. But the problem is, like, I spent most of my life not doing that back.
Yeah.
And so that's been something in my relationships that we've had to deal with. And then when it came time to try to have a kid or want to have a kid, Billy was open and honest from day one. And we've been together 15 or 16 years. I know I'm supposed to know that, but it's one of the two.
Well, every couple that we interview, one of them knows it and the other one never does.
Yeah, true. I'm that one. It's true. The one who doesn't know anything.
I get it.
He was very forthright about, I want kids. I always want kids. And I just was thinking, oh, I'll deal with that later. And so
he'd probably change his mind.
So it was a long, so this is a really long, convoluted way to say that I had a lot of shame just about my everyday feelings and thoughts and opinions. And so to have a child is so public and so social.
Yes.
And I wasn't ready for that. And it was really hard.
How did he get you there?
How did he get me there? You know,
or did you get you there?
I think I got me there because whether this is a good reason or not, there is no way that I could let him down like that.
Aww.
And there's no way that I could have just, there's too big of a compromise for me to ask him. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And then ironically, given my little sob story I've given you, I was used to like giving 10 to get 5. Do you know what I'm saying? So I was like, sure.
If that's what you want, I'll do it for you.
Did you have secret concerns or fears that you would go forward and then be like, what did I do?
I
guess they're not going to be secret if you tell me now, but.
Well, our daughter was born in California, November 20th of last year.
That's my son's birthday.
It's the best birthday.
Oh my God. What? Right? Wait, your kid is on the same birthday?
Yes.
The same year, the same exact day.
Yes. Yeah. Not the same year, right?
Her son just had a baby. Born.
No way.
Yeah. He's like in the other room. Yeah.
I was like, oh, lots of November 20th. Really? Last November 20th? Like,
yeah.
He's almost 4 months. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's great.
Oh my God. What are the chances?
What are the
100%.
Chances?
100%.
Apparently.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Back to under your hood.
So on the 19th, you were probably thinking whatever you were thinking. And I was thinking, I have to get out of here. I can't believe I've done this. Like, nerves, lots of nerves. And though, so just to jump ahead for a second, so you don't think I'm such an asshole, is the moment that she was born, all of the worry and the anxiety and the stress over all the time and the bazillions of monies that I don't have were spent, it all just sort of receded immediately.
That's a common thread, which is nice.
You know, David,
it's like humanity.
I didn't have that with my firstborn. I was still freaked out. I went home and cried all night.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, true. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Love them both to death now, but yeah.
I understand.
We all have our different...
Let's just stare at Jamie awkwardly now.
No, but it was also, for me though... Probably what saved me from maybe feeling the way you did was, first of all, I didn't carry anyone or was around anyone who carried someone because we live in New York and our gestational carrier was in Southern California. So the whole, on top of everything I've sort of intimated about the drama and the work it took, it also remained incredibly abstract the entire time.
I would imagine.
Because I don't really go to California every week.
Sure.
Right? So it was sort of... Wow. Texts here and there, and it was all very strange and abstract. It was like, oh, I'm having a kid, but there was no evidence of it around me other than all the bills, which I didn't really curl up with those, right? I didn't really like, like stroke the bills.
You didn't put the headphones on the bills, headphones for the music.
Someday you're gonna be out here, Bill.
Tummy time with the bills.
So, we need to dig into this whole process because it's a little different for you than it was for us and everybody we've talked to so far because it's mostly been...
Whose hopper do you put the business in?
It's been lesbians having babies.
Anyone as reluctant as I was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Totally.
Good.
There's been lots of journeys. Lots of like people saying, which I think a common thread of, I didn't think it was a possibility, so I didn't consider it. Right. Until one person was like, we're doing it.
Yeah. I actually also never thought that I would be in a long-term relationship. I never thought that I would own an apartment. I never thought that I would have a job.
You were just going to live in a car? You had very low expectations.
I really didn't. I swear, as successful and blessed as I've been, I can't imagine why I never had a plan. I just never had a plan. And not like, oh, yeah, well, and I'm not a, oh, we all work out person. I just was like in my head daydreaming as I am now while I'm talking to you.
You know what? I love hearing that, David, that you didn't have a plan and you never thought you were going to do all the stuff you've done. Because you always hear the people who are like, I was successful because I did this and that and this and that and this and that. I mean, we're off topic right now, but I find it refreshing to hear you say that successful. And you had no plan. Good job.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Way to go.
I mean, it's really hard to disappoint. If anything works out, you're like, oh.
It's kind of how I live my life.
Low bar.
Look what happened.
So, all right. So you now know you guys are going to have a baby. You've said yes. He's said yes. And how did you make a decision about how you were going to go about this? Like, did you consider adoption? Like, what did you do?
So we considered what I think is everything, or the big three. Adoption through an agency, adoption via a lawyer, and surrogacy. So I know that there's foster care, there's other things to do. So, but for us, it was the three.
Okay.
What is adoption via a lawyer?
An adoption via lawyer is an adoption lawyer. I have to explain.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that
all of that?
Is that different from?
Yes, an adoption lawyer sort of.
It's not like buying a baby a little bit.
Yes.
That's, it's kind of like they go out and broker it, right?
What?
Yeah. Yes, via the Penny Savers, which actually exist. Yeah. And a lot of people do that, and God bless them.
A lot of gay people?
Well, a lot of people.
All over.
A lot of people.
Okay.
It's much faster. It's about the same, from what I understand, it's roughly the same price as an adoption. If you
I feel
do
like
it
that was in the movie Juno. I remember seeing that. Like
that
she,
was an open adoption, wasn't it?
No, she was like a Penny Saver thing.
Yeah, you're right.
I have never heard this term.
So the path that we took goes back to a lot of what I was saying about my personality and being closeted and the shame of it all. Because to me, the surrogacy route, ironically, was the least publicly intrusive. Hmm.
Unpack that for corporate terms.
That's the new thing. That's Remember new, 10 years yeah. ago, we all were forced to say robust. Now it's we're unpacking things. So we started with adoption as the option, which is what I wanted to do. And I thought that if I was going to have a baby, that adoption was the, to me, the best, the most noble and the most, compassionate thing to do.
It's almost like recycling.
Yes.
reducing. Like a little bit. It's a green baby.
In that sense, yes. And so we went to this adoption fair. Mm-hmm. And so it was in a hotel in upstate New York, and it was really cold. And I remember saying to Billy, game face, be really smiling and nice because we're two gay guys. I'm positive.
We gotta win.
It's gonna be mostly heterosexual couples, mm-hmm. and we just have to seem like we're adoptive ready. And we walked in, and what I didn't realize, at least in my experience, is that for a lot of the heterosexual couples who are there, this was their last resort, whereas it was our first experience.
Right.
And
big difference.
Was it sad vibe?
It was it was a sad vibe. I felt that some of the wives were just a little sad and really determined, and mm-hmm. it wasn't about being friends with everybody, because what I realized is with an adoption agency in this instance, it actually there is a finite pieces of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that the agency only has X amount of potential pregnant women yep. who want to enter, give their babies to up for adoption, mm-hmm. and those women pick the couple. So mm-hmm. So what I didn't realize is that I was actually in competition with everyone in there if you entered in the process, because you have to do your book and you have to circulate your book of your life. And then the woman who you have yet to meet, she goes through the books and she picks the couple based on the book.
Just from the book.
From the book at first, and then it proceeds from there. And that's pretty standard. And this was a nonprofit agency. I don't have any experience with a for-profit agency. I want to be clear about that.
Rachel, I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feathersnap. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feathersnap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
So you really are in competition. And so I don't want to be in competition,
right,
sort of ever.
me either.
I just,
you guys
know,
are like the same person.
We,
like,
are if, so similar.
If, I'm like, if you really want it, you go ahead.
That's yeah, how
you
I
have
am.
It.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm like rolling up my sleeves and I'm like, we got this.
Right. I want to be very clear. I'm not laid back. I'm just like, I don't want to fight because
I feel you.
I think I overcorrect because I'm really like, oh, I want this. And so that made me feel uncomfortable, plus the residual shame that I've told you about earlier. And it just wasn't a good experience, even though everyone there who was running the agency and a couple of the couples that we met were lovely. But it was mostly none of us talking to one another. Yep. I mean, I didn't really want to do a kumbaya,
yeah,
but I thought that we would and I would be uncomfortable. Yeah. But instead it was worse. It was no kumbaya. Nobody wants to.
Yeah.
And that was really strange. And then
this looks like it sounds like an acting audition, like waiting in the everyone just sizing each other out and being like, are you taking my part?
Yeah.
It is an audition.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really is.
It's heart. That's, I mean, I'm heartbroken to hear that. I mean,
this was my experience.
That's and, a you lot know, of people's reality.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they have to do that to get a baby.
Yes. But yes. What happened was, at the end of the day, there were a number of couples who were like, I'm ready to sign up right now. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of couples who were non-committal. And then there were a couple of us included, obviously, we were like, thanks for playing. We love the buffet. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So it really was the right thing for a lot of people. Now, the other reason that it didn't work out for us is because there is an open-ended time limit.
Yeah.
You're really waiting to be chosen. So we have friends who use the same agency where they had been waiting for 3 years. Now, this one couple I'm talking about, the 3-year couple, it did happen for them shortly after that.
Was it men?
Yes, mm-hmm. two men. And it was... But it was 3 years. Yeah. And so at the time...
And there's like, you get the call and then they're like, oh, never mind. Yes. Like it's like a heartbreaking path for... It's hard.
It is. Mm. It's really hard. And at the time, I was 46 going on 47. And so ironically, I was like, I don't have time to wait for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I ended up waiting for 3 years with the path that I took. Dun, dun, dun. I also didn't want to make a book of myself. Like, I don't make those Apple Apple iBooks.
When you said you have to make the book, I got to a really high stress level just thinking about having to do that. We are the same person. I would not want to make a book.
I would just make Mary make the book. She does.
Oh, Robin, you would make that book so fast. I would just,
I'm words, Mary's pictures.
You guys, it would be like,
it's true. I mean, who am I kidding?
We'd have an encyclopedia size
glossy book.
The books were beautiful. And the other problem I had with the books, which is the beauty of the books, to be fair to everyone who goes through that process, is the books are so earnest, which is lovely. I'm not I can't do that. But it's, you know, it's different for everyone. I would just want to stress that. And this was like too different for me. Mm-hmm. So the other thing this agency did, which I thought was very smart, and it was definitely not for us, was they bring in, as they should, different types of people who've gone through the process on either side of it. Mm. So they brought in a lovely couple, heterosexual white couple, and their adoptive son, and they told their story. And then the next person who came in was a woman who seemed a little high energy, who told a story of how
she's on the coke.
She didn't realize she was pregnant until she went to the hospital feeling very ill and gave birth. And that
I feel bad for saying that. She probably was on drugs.
She put she had orange hair. She,
I don't know how you can go 9 months without knowing you're pregnant. Something's going on there.
There's a whole TV show about that. It happens.
I've seen that. Happens a lot in the toilet. They reenact.
There's a TV
show
about that?
Yes. It's
Robin,
on like Lifetime.
You know
or
what?
Something.
You could get a call to be on that show to be in a reenactment, and they're going to put you in a toilet.
Do you know I was in a reenactment of an America's Most Wanted?
Oh, hi. Celebrity Ghost Stories, and also Monsters Inside Me, and it's a lot of big hands acting, as I call it. Never do it. Never again. Okay.
So this woman, her daughter was adopted. And it's all open adoptions that this agency does. So now she is in the life of this couple, and she moved next door. Then there was to them, I know. And then there was another couple, which is interesting. It was
a
man and a woman. She was pregnant, gave her baby to adoption because the husband didn't want the baby. And even though it happened years ago, you could tell that she was conflicted about it. Uh-huh. And I could actually get emotional about it now. I mean, also putting a lot of my own stuff into it. I mean, that was her choice and she made that. But I just, you know, the parade of difference.
Yeah.
But with again, back to the shame thing, it was also open. And so the thought of having all the I call them the home invasions, but the when they, you know, especially for the gay guys, just like coming in and seeing, you know, the government comes in, you know, everyone's involved.
Yep.
It's the agency, the government, the birth mother, everybody. It was just too much.
Yeah.
So we left. We left around 4 p.m. and we went right to bed and we slept until 11 a.m. the next day, just because like we were just
emotionally
like decompressing.
Spent.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that didn't work out, but that was okay. And so then another friend of Billy's said, well, you could try a lawyer. And so we went to see this lawyer, and it was roughly the same price. And to me, this was the most harrowing experience of them all. And it is only my experience. But we walked in, and she was very nice. The office was covered, every space of it, all the walls with the little wallet size photos of the kids that she had placed. But it was so many of them that it didn't seem celebratory. It just seemed
like gratuitous.
Just like it was a lot. And I just remember, this is not what happened, but I remember it like in the you know, in the detective No, in the detective room with the lights swinging smoking. Yeah. And she's like leaning in, and none of that happened, but I just
that was the vibe.
That was the vibe. And she basically said,
I'm going to get you a baby.
Well, no, this is what she said. She said a bunch of stuff. I wasn't listening. And then
because you were just staring at creepy baby photos. You were just like,
I was like, wow, this is really overwhelming. And then this is what she said. Here's what you have to know. I said, okay. 85% of the birth moms chain smoke, and the 15% are lying about smoking. I said, okay. 75% of them are on methadone. Okay. And I said, why? And she looked at me, she goes, are you serious? And then she explained why. I was like, oh. And then she said, I can get you a baby in 6 months. Just like that. I said,
yeah, okay. I can get you, yeah.
And I said, okay. And then, so the methadone scared me. And again, this was 3 years ago, so I wasn't as aware of the tragedy of the opioid crisis that I am now. I felt like it was, now it's reached critical mass and there's all the documentaries and we know so much more. But 3 years ago, I know I should have been more with it, but I was like, what? Methadone? I don't understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this really got me. She goes, here's what you need to do. Do you have a phone in your home? I said, no, we got rid of our landline. She goes, get a landline, get a dedicated number. Someone needs to be manning it all the time. You're going to put out an ad in the Penny Saver and all the Midwest and Nevada and all those places. And you're going to get calls. And some of them are going to be people shaking you down for money. Some of them are going to be people just seeing they can like get into your ingratiate themselves into your lives. And then one may be golden. But you got to take those calls. I'll prep you on the conversation and we'll go from there. Oh, and I remember going, I actually am never going to work with you at all. Again, my experience, I can't imagine that they're all like that.
Yeah.
So in one way, I do appreciate how frank she was.
Sure.
But she wasn't a good salesperson.
Yeah.
Right? It really was scary.
Yeah, she was like weeding out the people who are, you know, how badly do you want a baby from this way?
Yeah, and obviously she helped a lot of people. And first of all, 6 months was way too fast.
Yeah.
And I just, again, it was that having so many people in the process was just not, you know, Billy had no problem with the people in the process. He goes, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't, to just have that conversation with so many strangers and also to constantly sort of present myself as the perfect person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When for so long I hadn't thought I was even remotely of any worth.
Yeah.
You know, growing up the way that I did, it was just too much. So we settled on.
It's just, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's just interesting. I never thought about this. Gay men, you have to have multiple people in the process. We don't.
Yeah. We can, because we can buy sperm online.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we have to have a doctor. Well, you don't even have to have a doctor in the process. Most of us do.
No, you don't. To get pregnant, you actually don't need a doctor.
No, you don't. And we've talked to people who didn't.
Yeah.
But you have to.
It's a hard road.
It outs you so hugely.
It does. And again, someone who maybe is my exact age and is a millennial and,
another
you know,
millennial.
Lived in a progressive town or didn't give a crap, you know, I'm sure his experience is much different. And he could be listening to this going like, what a douchebag, you know.
Well, it's just more like what you have to go through. Like, it's like you have to be dependent on other people. Whereas we could like have the conversation of like, do we want to maybe bring in another man who could be a part of our family? But that's like a luxury if we get to discuss it. Whereas if we don't want to, we just don't have to.
Yes.
And you have to rely on someone else in all of these scenarios.
Yes, definitely.
That's hard.
And an interesting little twist on this point, which you made so well, is what we learned at the agency is that birth mothers are, not all of them, of course, but there is a large percentage of them who are more willing to place their baby with two men than with two women or with a heterosexual couple.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't have any, I know what I'm told, and I haven't, like, it's not my thought, it's what I was told, which is that that a birth mother is more likely to want to give her child to two men rather than to a relationship where there is another woman there. So she's essentially replacing herself, which she doesn't want to do. So it just shows you the conflict that the birth mothers go through.
Yeah. Even if it's subconscious, it's, you know.
The flip side, so as invasive as it is for men, because we have to have so many people involved. At the same time, they'll tell you, oh, your chances are better.
That's
in
interesting.
In terms of adoption. So it was all harrowing.
It's so tough.
It really was.
On all fronts. So,
yeah.
And that was really why we decided on surrogacy. We did not want, it was not important for either of us to have a child who is genetically one of ours. And because never occurred to me. First of all, I never thought I'd have a kid. It wasn't important to me, like, oh, is she mine? Is she Billy's? You know, it doesn't matter. But surrogacy, unfortunately, was the most expensive, but it was the most private.
Oh, interesting.
Still not very private, but out of the other two options I described, it was the most private for us.
Wow.
So how'd you find your lady?
So we had three.
It's funny that you had to like look for a lady. Like,
go through that whole, because I don't know anything about this process.
Really?
No, I don't. I'm sad to say, I don't know.
So what you do is you find another agency. So we had an agency.
Lots of agencies.
Agencies. we had an agency in California. So through a friend of a friend of a friend, Billy knew of this agency. And so we were just like, they're all fine. Let's just use the one in California. Also, California has the most progressive laws for surrogacy. Hmm. So, for example, which was important to us, first of all, it's illegal in New York because Baby M, back in the early 80s.
It's illegal.
Yes. Surrogacy. So when I say surrogacy, what I really mean in my case is gestational carrier, but colloquially everyone says surrogacy. So a gestational carrier is a woman who carries an embryo that is not her egg. Mm-hmm. Okay. A surrogate, legally, it is that woman's egg.
And that was in Baby M, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was her, and she wanted to keep the baby, right?
Yes, and that is why ever since it's been illegal in New York. And so then the next step in the process is you interview young women who want to be your gestational carrier. And the agency at the time we joined them the town was a little dry. And they didn't have a lot of surrogates for us. So we're like, oh, we're waiting. And so we ended up liking, I'm doing air quotes, the first one we interviewed. Now, I had reservations, such as the lack of eye contact, that she was with me, not me with her. But she seemed fine. She came well recommended. And I didn't have a
bad... Had she done it before?
No. First time.
What's the age? Like, what's
she
the
was
age?
Early 20s.
Okay, and they mostly are early.
I don't know mostly. I mean, the younger you are, the
better.
Better the chances are. So I didn't have any reservations about her, but I wasn't like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the dream team. And Billy felt the same way. But remember, we had lost so much time.
Yeah.
As I was approaching 50. And, which is obviously a thing for me. I keep saying it.
I'm 50. 50 years old.
It all
old.
Comes out in the microphone.
It's like therapy. You don't have to go now. It's like cut three sessions off.
We're good.
So as it turns out, the first surrogate was actually looking for a revenue stream so she could have money to leave her husband. So we had... three or four transfers with her all failed, and then she disappeared, left her husband, and left us.
Is it pay as you go?
Yes.
Well, so as soon as she got enough,
what
she
you
was
do
like,
is
I'm
you
done.
Put $1 billion in sort of like an escrow type account, and they dole it out for the monthly based on everything gets paid out of that account. So the medical bills, the visits, the...
So she was like, I have first and security deposit. I can go now.
Yeah, it wasn't working. And it also wasn't working out. I mean, you know...
And it's not like something that you can put on insurance. Like, you can't put her on your insurance.
No, we had to take out insurance for her.
For her.
Yeah, you have to pay for all the medical costs.
From my experience, and it may be wrong, but this is how it worked out for me, is that she could have used her insurance, but then she'd really be lying because
because it's not her egg.
Right.
She's not.
Right. I don't know if the line, but I just think, she'd have to, hey, I'm pregnant. And then all of a sudden, she delivers at the military hospital and then like we're there. And then 2 days later, we're gone with the, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So We had 3 or 4 transfers with her. Again, I guess I should know. And I think it was 4, yes.
Let me pause you. So you get the donor egg. So how... So you have to make a bunch of embryos, right?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So your question actually gets to what I when I stopped you about the business, the mixing.
Yes.
Okay. So you guys could mix, right? You could have like 2 buddies and not have a doctor involved, and actually put 2 different samples in simultaneously. So we don't do that with a surrogacy. There's no penetration or anything, or there's no that. The funnel from Amazon that it is, you could buy it on Amazon. There's no funnel used.
We don't do that much penetration either.
Well, no.
Wow.
What?
No, I'm just saying could be, you know, the mixing part. So,
I just got uncomfortable. It's fine. Everything's fine.
So, I didn't say you, I didn't mean that you were a bitch, but you get the egg, you buy the egg.
One egg.
No,
you buy a bunch of eggs.
You find a person. And you, $16,000 later, she would have gone to the doctor and done a retrieval.
A retrieval.
And then you get what you get.
Hopefully you get 20 eggs.
A bounty of eggs. And then those eggs are tested. So if you get 20, there'll probably be 11 that are good.
Yeah.
Then you have those tested. And then you'll have about 5 that are viable. And then, so this is why you don't mix them. So then you pick and choose
the good ones.
You pick and choose the best egg, and with the sperm samples from whomever you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the eggs are actually they're gestated for 5 days, and then they're frozen after that.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, because we weren't there, you could do that. You know, on the 5th day, you could. Implant right away, but they're frozen. So that's why there's no mixing.
Got it.
We wouldn't have put my sample and his sample in at the same time into this one little egg.
So you know exactly whose DNA is
for
in.
Each one. Yes.
But you
for each egg.
You did
different samples for each egg.
Yes.
So both of you.
So
were
you put
able
some
to...
in, he put some in.
Yes. And so then you see what eggs get to...
Oh, I see. I get it.
Then you see which eggs make it to 5 days, and then those are tested, and then you go with what's best. And then
are they keeping track of whose is which?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I have 2 questions for you.
Yes.
One is going to keep us moving forward, and I don't want to forget it. So did you... when at implantation time, do you put one of his and one of yours in?
The 2 best.
Well, we alternated for some of the times. Yeah. I did not want to have twins.
No, I know. I mean,
so I do know now when you put in 2. Okay, so when you put in 2, it's a 40% chance of twins, which is really, really super high.
Yeah.
And then when you put in 1, so the reason people put in 2 is not to get twins. It is because that 60% chance that it's 1, it's cheaper. It's faster, and you're guaranteed more success.
I've heard also that they compete with each other, the 2 eggs, and so there's more of a chance of one of them actually implanting.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. So me, slow and steady, loses the race, insisted on 1 at a time, and that didn't work.
Mm.
And we only actually did. It's funny because when we did 2, that's when we had our daughter.
Yeah, how funny.
So we were doing 1. So what they do is, so when you get to the 5th day. They're tested and then they're graded. So you have A++, or A-, B with the pluses, and C.
This I've been through because I did IVF. So I do know a little bit about this.
Yeah. So then you have your stash of potential babies. And so you know all the test results. You know which
one. It's like
one.
The smart kid and then the dumber kids.
How many did you have when you did your retreat? How many did you end up with?
Each time was very disappointing.
Oh, you had to do multiple retrievals.
We had to do 3 or 4. I'm telling you, this is like, okay. I'm telling you right now, we had a really bad time.
Yeah.
What everyone from the doctor, and our doctor was one of the pioneers in this in Southern California. So he's been doing it. The second doctor we used, who we were successful with, said, if it weren't for your first doctor, none of us would ever be doing this. Mm. He's such a pioneer. Mm. And so the pioneer was, everyone was befuddled. The agency was like, you know what? When you test and you're putting in the A++, it usually works right away. Right. We don't know what's going on with you. It's just every so often, it's just, you know, bad luck. I was mm-hmm. like, that's it. Wait a second. I'm paying for all of this science, and then your explanation is bad luck, which is not an explanation.
Oh. It's so frustrating. I mean, I had unexplained infertility. It's the same thing. I only did 2 retrievals, though.
Wow. That's good. I'm glad. I don't want to meet anyone who says to me, hears my story and says, me too. Because yeah. I don't want anybody to go through yeah. that. There are far worse experiences. I mean, we ended up, you know, we closed the deal. We have our daughter, right? But there's a lot of people who
yeah.
don't get still to cross struggling. The finish line. They're struggling. That's terrible. But it was really hell. It was really hard on our relationship. Oh, yeah. And the other thing is I didn't tell anybody. I actually told work when we were 7.5 months pregnant, and I said, I may have to go on paternity leave. And they're like, when? I was like, in 6 weeks.
Oh my God.
And I didn't tell my mom.
Wow.
I didn't tell my mom for 3 years.
You really do keep it close to the vest.
And Billy was like, what is wrong with you? His whole family knew. His friend. I don't have any friends, so I had nobody to tell. But I was like, oh. Mm. It was really a burden. It was so stupid. When I look back on it,
lessons
like,
learned.
What's wrong with
communicate.
You?
But, so wait, I have to take. I ask you this question. So, yes. You weren't sure you wanted to be a father.
I wasn't sure that I wanted to have kids.
That you wanted to have kids.
Right.
Then you go through this whole process. Uh-huh. Did that change over that course? Like at this point, you're just determined to make this little being. No, did it not change?
No, I was conflicted
the whole time.
Because
you kept moving forward.
Yes, it just kept. It kept failing.
Well, you're on the roller coaster at that point.
You're right.
You're strapped in. You're going. Yeah.
Billy was unwavering.
Yeah.
Billy was determined.
Because he moved you forward.
Yes, he moves us forward. He was determined, and he wanted this. And I just, and this isn't atypical of, this is not atypical of our relationship, where I'm like, whoa, wait. Wait, you want a new chair for the dining room? Meanwhile, I have like gone to Barney's and bought like 30 shirts and hidden them from him. But I'm like, wait, a new chair?
We have to really think this through. We should Photoshop some pictures.
It's like that. You know, it's like, oh, I want to plant this tree. A tree. Yeah. Well, so that's our dynamic. So I'm the horrible one.
No, not at all.
Can I take you back to the part about we have that one lady. And then she's gone because she's now got the money to get a divorce. So you had to find a new surrogate.
Yes.
And at the same time, so you're moving forward doing retrievals. And so you find a new one and the second one is the one?
No, we have three surrogates. Wait till I tell you this. I hope, is anyone able to follow this?
We're with you.
Okay,
we're with you.
So we met we got the second surrogate who seemed lovely. She had
seemed is the key word
right,
there.
She had again, they were a military family. They happily married, you could tell, and she had a passion for and a connection to France, which I sort of do also. Like
okay.
I'm sort of like a Francophile, though I can't speak French or anything.
Really?
Oh my God.
You just want to marry him.
And you have I've been noticing your shirt this whole time.
Oh my God, I'm wearing a French. Oh, that's cornball.
He is Paris French.
My shirt says Paris. But not like the Eiffel Tower that I bought at the airport. It's like it's a nice t-shirt.
It's a nice shirt.
So
Jamie, this is the part where you go, no judgment to anyone who buys t-shirts at the airport.
I didn't even think of that.
Oh my God.
So it is cotton. So I felt more connected to her, as did Billy, than to the first person. Mm-hmm. And she was like, go, go, go. I'm going to do this for you. This is great. And we're like, cool. So we had a transfer with her and we put in 2. Mm-hmm. And she got pregnant. And it was very exciting. And she was pregnant for 14 days. And then she lost them. But what happened was she lost one of them, and the other egg went entopic. Right?
Oh no!
So that was sort of a disaster. But in the 14 days from when she was pregnant to when she wasn't, and then when we found out about the entopic pregnancy, She cut off all communication with everybody and was very aggressive with the nurses and just got very, very strange. And I feel, I'll never know because we never heard from her again. And she said she didn't want to do this again with us, and we felt the same way. I just felt that she was so positive. She had been a surrogate once before, and she was so positive and so sure of her ability to get pregnant. And then when it turned out to be worse than not getting pregnant mm-hmm. because of the pain, what she went through, I think she just sort of flipped a little bit and mm-hmm. Was really disappointed and angry. And so we broke things off with her. That was really bad. That was really harrowing, and it was sad. So what the amazing thing that happened was someone who worked at the agency, our surrogacy agency, and a lot of these women who work at these agencies have been or are surrogates themselves. This one woman stepped forward who we had gotten to know and said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to be your carrier. And I was like, wow.
I'm going to cry.
It's sort of like if your coworker says, yeah. You know what? I know that you're sort of heartbroken. Why don't we do, I'll marry you. Like, yeah. Okay.
sure.
And I have to tell you, it was really crazy. And people think it's crazy when I tell them that. And it was the one time all of this made sense. Mm-hmm. And,
really especially given your whole thing about like the way you were looking at adoption and how you were looking at it is like the human part of it. Like yes. It's like that was the connection.
So we did a transfer with her, the woman who came forward and didn't work. And she said, listen, I'm not feeling this doctor. I don't like his protocols for the medication. I've used this other doctor twice before. He does it this way, do it this way. I'm recommending you start all over with this new person. And so I'm thinking starting
like
dollar
six
signs.
More months, because, more money.
Because what was sick about the whole thing is that the doctor we were using was so desperate to help us and also to keep his success numbers up.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's reported.
It's reported with like giving us super duper discounts on the transfers. So it became this thing like, okay, do we do another transfer in the situation that has yielded nothing but we can afford it? Or do we start from scratch with money we sort of don't have? So we did the most prudent thing, and that was start with money we don't have. And so we did a transfer with him. And this is going to sound so corny and perhaps earnest, but it really happened. So in the room with the carrier, the representative from the agency, the doctor, and I was there, you know, because you watch the transfer on the screen, mm-hmm. you know, because I stay by her head. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not like anywhere.
By the parts. The
thick of things. And I remember it, and it didn't happen this way, but I remember looking at the screen, and I remember it just like a little flash of light when he pulled back the little instrument, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, it's done. It happened. And I'm not just like,
yeah,
you know how you sort of retroactively, you know, when you fall in love with someone, it's always because it was meant to be, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, you refit the narrative.
Right. So I'm not doing that. I swear. I just saw like, I just could sense it. And it was very quiet and still in the room. And I remember leaving there saying, I'm going to have a baby. Mm. We ended up having one, a singleton, a terrific pregnancy. The surrogate felt great through it all. Mm. A very active little growing baby.
Yeah.
Very headstrong. So my daughter was born we're very proud of this, with one push.
Wow.
And then they put that horrible hat on her.
Those hats.
Do you know that hat?
The stripes.
So yeah. The boys get a hat, and then the girls, they affix this horrible giant bow to it.
I didn't get that. Ours were just like this pink and blue stripes so that any baby can wear them.
Yeah. Well, any baby. But they put an extra piece of fabric that makes it a bow.
You were like, take that off immediately.
So there's this photo of me crying, skin on skin, holding my daughter. Aww. And everyone's like, that's so beautiful. And I was like, and every time I look at it, I'm like, that fucking bow.
You need someone to Photoshop that bow out.
It's not about the bow, though.
Mary can Photoshop that out for you.
And she was maybe 6.5 pounds. True. And She's just, I'm sort of beaming right now, right? Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
She a good baby?
She's a good baby. Okay, let me tell you this. So I've heard this phrase two different ways. One is the universe only gives you what you can handle. Mm-hmm. And then the second version of it is God only gives you what you can handle. So apparently the universe and God think I can only handle an awesome baby that doesn't cry and has been sleeping through the night since four weeks. And she's so easy. So the universe says, this dude can't handle jack shit. So we're going to have this baby. She's going to be driving by 6 months because that's he amazing. Is such a mess. We need a good baby.
Well, it has been delightful having you here.
Thank you so much.
And I feel like you really deserve that baby.
You do.
I do. Thank you. Billy does too. Billy and I do too. Thank you.
Are you jealous of Billy?
God, Billy. How could you? Thank you so much. This has been great.
It was really great.
It's been great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You're in love with David Bitler.
I love him.
You really are.
I mean, he's funny. He's handsome.
I know.
You know, he's gay. What more could you ask for?
He's like...
perfect package.
I'm a little jealous of Jamie. It's fine. I'll be over it.
Don't worry. There's no chance. There's absolutely no chance. And not that you would worry.
That got weird.
Anywho.
Well, you know what? I have to say, what an amazing dude. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe, you think we have it hard? Mm-hmm. Like, the gay dudes have it super hard.
They
have no options.
There are, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I gave you the idea.
I think
idea
it was just the podcast.
I think you're going to do it, but.
All right. Well, I've had a great time. Mm-hmm. If you have questions for David or if you want to, ask us questions, we're going to be doing a listener episode, Listener questions episode. That's so hard to say. So if these ovaries could talk on Facebook, ovaries talk on Twitter, ovaries_talk on Instagram.
You did them all.
You can email us.
Uh-huh.
At ovariestalk@gmail.com.
You got it.
All right. So come get us.
We want to hear from you.
We do.
We love you guys. All right.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.